Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crap Is, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old bravs. Everybody, happy Real Housewives of Potomac week. It's me, Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie.
How are you? Hi.
I am so good. I'm so good. We got Potomac back talking about it today. How are you doing?
Good. Are you sure you don't want to talk about your box is on fire? Your fire box, boxy fire, fire.
Well, before you light your boxes on fire, we should probably tell everyone that Ronnie and I are going to be back on Watch What Happens Live on Wednesday night. Y'all. I added a little yas,
destiny.
But I wasn't committed
you
to the
added
queen.
A little yeah. destiny into there.
Yeah, because we're also recapping Shaw's later today, so I'm already sort of like one half of my brain is in Shaw's land, one half is in Potomac land. But all of my brain will be in Watch What Happens land because we're going to be on it Wednesday night with Danny and Sasha, Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic and Sasha from the Bravo Breakdown on IG. We love them both. And it's so fun. It's so cool. This is our third time getting to go back on the show. So it's really cool. So we just hope everyone is able to tune in and watch us. And I'm excited. I always feel so special. I always feel like I like it because for a moment I have a hope that I might get a blue dot on a social media platform, you know, just for one moment.
Well, good luck with your blue dot. Okay.
It's never going to happen.
I support your blue dot. Okay.
It won't happen. Listen, I should just be so happy that our Watch What Crappens Instagram has a blue dot. And by the way, everyone should follow that because why not? It's got a blue dot, everyone. So cool.
Yeah, go follow it. It's super fun. We're having a lot of fun over there. And our schedule, just for everybody who knows, has changed. We are going to keep watching Family Karma, but not recapping it at the Mo. We're going to talk about it a little bit on the bonuses. You know, keep caught up because it's a very good show. So if you don't watch that, go watch that. It really is a good show. But our schedule is we are going to front load the week with Potomac, Shaw's, Below Deck Med. And then we're going to do, of course, keep the other housewives in there as well. Got to keep all our housewives. So we're doing New York and Beverly Hills. Okay. And if you need more, go listen to the bonus episodes. We just did a really fun two-parter breaking down the cast of the new Big Brother season. And it's where we don't watch any of it. We just go off their bios and pictures and stuff. So it's really rude. So if you need some,
it's really,
really
rude,
shitty
but
humor
accurate,
today.
I would have to say, by the way, so I've watched the first two episodes of Big Brother so far. So far, so good, by the way. And I would say that we're doing pretty well in terms of our hot takes this season. I feel really good about it.
Okay, well, good. You know, I love to be right, especially when I'm just being an asshole judging people. So, you know, when it happens, I'll take it.
Yeah, so go listen to that. It's on Patreon. Okay, so this is very exciting. Potomac is back. It's always a little bit of a question mark with these shows this year about how what we're going to get because COVID has made things really difficult, I think, on the production end. And I was so happy to see that Potomac was just as great and hilarious as ever. Like, just an amazing, great premiere, just out of the gate, hilarious. I was cracking up, laughing. This is what our Bravo shows should be like. And these are women who, if they are self-producing, I'm not seeing it. I don't feel like they really are. They are just like, whatever, you know, they've opened the gates. Let's now go at it.
Hey, I'm good if you self-produce. Just do a good job at it.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, it's like when people say, even on a larger scale, reality TV is scripted. Well, sure, but as long as it's good, it's good. But if it's like some show on E! Where they're like literally reading off of a teleprompter that an intern wrote their lines for, like, no, that's not good.
Yeah, agreed. So we begin, like every season begins, I'm sure. Everyone's sitting in their confessionals on their cell phones. It's basically how every dinner begins across America. All of us sit together and whip out our cell phones. And the producer's like, all right, let's start. And then just in case you guys forgot, because, you know, every time a new season begins, we forget why we hate everybody. You know, it's like the Bravo brain. We just kind of reset the DVR and start over again. I do it. But in case you forgot why Candace is annoying, she starts with, camera speed.
Even just ruining that simple phrase, camera speed, she just singing it, okay? And this, I noticed this premiere was very heavy on producer talking. Like, we're getting a lot of that now, hearing the producer ask questions. Like, that fourth wall has been coming down more and more every year on Broadway. Not on Broadway. I was going to say on Bravo. But on Broadway, too. I'm like, is that Susan Stroman back there? So the producers are like, okay, in one word, describe what last year was like. So Giselle goes, toxica. And, of course, we see a clip of the fight. And then Wendy goes, last year taught me that you never know who may be plotting behind your back. I'm like, no one was plotting behind your back, Wendy.
No one plotted behind your back? What are you even talking about? What was she so much? What was she? Oh, I guess she's referring to
maybe just Candace and Monique.
Karen. No, because remember how Karen brought, she invited Monique to her party, her launch party for whatever business that was, that she was, her weave business or whatever. And she told Monique to come. And then Monique said she was, but still, Wendy, that had nothing to do with you. Okay. No one's plotting behind your back.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, relax, Wendy. And then Karen says, Giselle, I'm a much bigger person than you.
Yeah, and Monique did ask me to write a statement, and Karen's saying, oh, well, what I see here is two friends going left, and Candace going, you saw a bitch get mad and attack me.
And Giselle, her whole thing is that she really wants an apology, because, you know, Giselle did so badly in the reunion, like so, so badly. Yeah. I mean, Monique really went out in a blaze of glory,
I would say.
Blaze of glory. Yeah. And Giselle was the one who was really taken down by it. So she spent most of the second half of that reunion just sitting there quietly trying to lick her wounds. So now she's had some time to recoup, and she's decided her new narrative is that this is all Karen's fault, and she's going to be mad at Karen, and now Karen has to apologize.
Yes. And then they showed us a bunch more clips of what happened last season. So it's like drama, drama, you know, fighting, the physical fight, the physical fight, and then some reunion fights, and then they just showed Mia throwing salad at somebody's face.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, wait a minute, favorite. That's from this season. You cheaters. They're like, hey, remember how funny that was? Yeah, because it hasn't happened yet. We've only seen it in the previews. Cheaters.
Yeah, because we're seeing, yeah, it's like a tease, because the trailer's at the end, and we're seeing clips of things like Candace saying, you brought your wide-bodied ass to spread lies and bullshit, and then we see the lettuce throwing. I love the lettuce throwing. They're like, listen, guys, last year, the wine glass, it was just a little too dark. A little too dark for this show. Let's just make it lettuce this time. Like, sure, we can work with lettuce.
I swallowed a coffee wrong there. Sorry, this is the producer talking. This is the producer talking.
He's like, I would like to say something on behalf of the lettuce.
I got choked
up. It should have been arugula.
I'd like a rocket salad next time.
Rocket. And then Wendy goes, yeah.
Yeah. No, you do it. I can't.
You never know when someone's going to plot against you, Ronnie.
You never know when someone's going to try and steal your Wendy line.
So she says, don't listen to them. Watch them. I'm like, oh, just, okay.
Okay, yeah, thanks.
Relax.
Thanks, Wendy.
Okay, she's throwing lettuce, okay? Let's not act like she literally, like, entered in the codes for the atomic bombs, okay?
Yeah.
It's like, you never know when someone's going to throw a spring mix from Dole.
You never know when you're going to need a little ranch dressing in a fight.
You never know when you might get a cranberry and a crouton thrown your way.
Okay, so then we get the taglines. I love this. This is the best music of all the Housewives.
I know, you love
it. I love
it. It's the, what's it called? Why I'm blanking on the genre of the Maryland
go,
genre.
Go.
Go, go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Love it. Love it. Giselle is first. Giselle is first. The secret to this pretty face is staying in the shade. Where's the word on the streets?
I know. Where's she got the street shook out of her by Monique. No more streets.
No more streets. I mean, you can't get word on the streets if you're hiding in the shade. I mean, Giselle is literally under an awning now on the streets.
I know.
Because she was so hurt by the word on the streets last year.
Well, maybe the original one was, the secret to this pretty face is staying on a street that is tree-covered in the summer, where there are leaves. Like, doesn't have a good ring to it.
The word under the awning is...
The word under the overhang on the street is, it's shady here.
So then this new girl, Mia.
By the way, I want to say also, that's a great line. The secret to this pretty face is staying in the shade. That's a really good one. That's like a, I think that's a top tier line.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And also, most evil people, you know, on Bravo at least, are very pretty. You know, and Disney, yeah. Disney evil people are very, the only one who maybe wasn't really hot, and I guess it just depends on your version of hot, but the Little Mermaid one wasn't that hot. But maybe because she was an octopus. Yeah, maybe that was too scary. But like Maleficent hot, Snow White's stepmother, whoever, the evil queen, she's
Heather DeBro,
hot.
Yeah, hot.
Heather DeBro, hot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're usually hot, so.
Jafar, kind of, hot. I'm sure Jafar's someone's kind of like kink. Yeah.
Jafar's Scar? Yeah.
Jafar's not really that hot. He's a little, Jafar's a little bit like the guy at the cocktail party who has a very specific opinion about Broadway these days, and you're like, okay.
Right. He's like, oh, you know, God, did Andrew Lloyd Webber really need to remake Cinderella? Did he really?
I remember 1968 having drinks with Jerome Robbins, and I said, Broadway will never be better, and guess what? He agreed, and my point remains. Like, okay, Jafar, thanks.
So the new girl, Mia, is like, if you want to pop off, I'll be happy to get you adjusted. Wow. This is the first time we've had back humor.
Yeah, I know.
And a tagline. So well done.
And the best part is, since we don't know she's a chiropractor yet, it barely makes sense. You're like, what's the joke there? Is she in insurance? Or is she like, she fixed desks or something? So, you know.
She's that lady with the shim who comes to fix your table when it's wobbly in a restaurant.
You know what I love about her being a chiropractor? It's only a matter of time before she gets on someone's bad side and they start shading her for not being a quote-unquote real doctor. Because, you know, that's what everyone does to chiropractors all the time.
Poor guys. And then you're like, I'm going to stand up for the chiropractor. And then he's like, oh, hey, I'm going to sell you this silver water for $70 to help your back. You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah. And then we have Robin, who really inspires us with, I may keep you waiting, but trust me, I'm worth it. Are you? It's like waiting for a salad at McDonald's. Is it worth it?
I feel like she just hasn't sent out hat orders. That's what's going on. She's just been, because Juan says she's sleeping a lot. So I'll bet she's just behind on hat orders. So she's using her tagline to be like, please don't write me bad Yelp reviews.
Yeah. No, I actually really like Robin a lot, but I think I like her the most in the capacity of being a friend of Giselle, because they like laugh at the things together. And Robin is really good at laughing at the same shit that we laugh at, but I just feel like this tagline is overstating her like inherent magnetism, you know? It should be more like, I may keep you waiting, but I'll send you a funny text in the meantime. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's cool.
But what does hers mean, right? Because I may keep you waiting. So is this because she's always late? Like they're always giving her shit for being late? Or is it because she hasn't gotten married yet and everyone's asking when she's going to get married? I'm not really sure.
I think it's all of the above.
But Robin has been the one waiting. Robin, like her whole storyline is waiting.
No, we're waiting for her because now it's like they're, you know.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like your storyline isn't that you make us wait. It's that, no, it's not that. You know what
waiting
I mean?
Waiting to prevail.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I can't get the sentence out right, but you guys know what I mean. It's like always waiting. Robin is always waiting. And now she's like, I may keep you waiting. How about just get married already? Because I'm so sick of every season starting off with, hey, Robin, when are you going to get married? Just leave the woman alone.
Well, that
Christ
means, Ronnie, you're waiting. She's keeping you waiting. That's why. You know what?
Juan is
you
keeping know, but, me to waiting. Me,
to
literally
me like
no
this.
One is keeping me waiting. I don't care if you get married, okay? Stop. Marriage doesn't make
gaslit.
You a better person. Yeah.
You're gaslit on the waiting. It's almost like you go to a restaurant and your food hasn't arrived yet, and the waiter says, I'm sorry for keeping you waiting, but trust me, it'll be worth it. It's like, I don't want to hear that. Just bring me my food.
Yeah, because then you're like talking up the food too much.
Yeah. So Ashley, her line.
Now you just triggered me about restaurants keeping you waiting. And then, you know, I'm around family, so I go eat with my family. And then it's a constant drama in my family because my mom is that lady who's like, well, they got our food before us and we were here way before them, even though we're like a table of 10. I'm like, well, you know, they that lady has a soup, you know, and she's like keeping score on who's eating when, you know. It stresses me out, the waiting. Can we just not
I
have
actually
a
do
waiting
that too.
You do.
I do that. a little bit. I do it more, less at a table situation, but more in a, I've put in my order in a line and they were calling numbers and my number's been skipped. And I'm like, but I put in my order is easier and I should have my stuff by now. And then it like, I spiral into this somehow being some sort of like, you know, trigger from childhood, you know, all that stuff.
That's your house boss tagline. I was here before them.
Oh my God. There's a helicopter directly over my place.
I hear something there. Is it like a ice cream truck helicopter? It has like a musical.
Wait, they're talking. They're talking. Wait. Oh, they're talking in the megaphone. Is something going on?
Probably. You live in Hollywood, so yes, chances are.
Are they looking for Robin? Is she kept them? They're like, you waited too long.
They're like,
the secret to this pretty face is staying at the sea.
I'm going to open up the Citizen app and see what's going on. Who are they yelling at? Okay, well, whatever.
They're telling someone to get the hell out of their house and come get arrested.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Am I under arrest?
Robin caused all this. Okay. Okay, so then Ashley's, the only thing messier than two boys is me. And your husband's Grindr DMs. Okay. Your husband is messier than two boys. Your husband is messier than 10 boys.
Is she basically saying she's just like covered in diarrhea right now? Is that what she's trying to say? That's where I take it.
I think she means it in the fun way. Like, I'm messy, but yeah.
Oh, by the way, here's what's going on. So I live about a block and a half away from a little library, and just now, report of a gun brandished near a library. So there's a gunman outside, I think. So Jeez. Everyone just remain calm. If you hear any chaos, if I suddenly like I'm like, oh shit, and I'm ducking under my thing, you'll know.
Jeez, the great library gunman. God. Leave the libraries alone.
What'd you say?
Leave the libraries alone. Can you get peace anywhere? Jesus Christ. Or maybe it's someone who's just mad that, you know, they're getting charged a late fee for a used book. Anyway, yeah. I hope everything's okay, library.
Yeah. I hope everyone's okay. And I hope whoever's brandishing a gun gets arrested. Stop brandishing guns, people. It's like literally, it is literally the most annoying and ridiculous and harmful flex. Like, congratulations, you got a gun. You're not a freaking cowboy. Keep it together. Get out of our faces.
Yeah. So then we go to Candace, who's like, my blessings are many and my patience is none. And your mother is still paying for both, so stop lying, okay?
And your work history is none. Yeah, likability. I mean, so many words could be subbed in for patience. Likability is none. Blue dot on Twitter is none. She doesn't have a blue dot. I think she got hers revoked. I just have to assume she got hers revoked.
You get it revoked?
You can get it revoked for bad behavior or things like that. And I would not be surprised, since she like bullied some people.
Oh, so they're like, we no longer know who you are. You're no longer verified. Okay.
You no longer appear to be a real person. Which is funny because...
We can no longer promise everybody that this is actually Candace.
Which, by the way, that's also kind of hilarious bullshit on Twitter's part, because Twitter is like, no, a blue dot is not a status symbol. It's just to verify that, like, since you are a public figure, that, you know, you this is really you speaking. So... by them revoking it as a punishment, it's like, what the logic behind that is? What, she's no longer a public figure? No, it's they're doing that because they know it's a prestige thing.
Yeah,
can you see how bitter I am? But
you're really on a blue dot spiral today.
I'm a blue dot special today.
Yeah, hey blue dot people, I will give up any thought of me ever getting a blue dot if you just give Ben a blue dot. Okay.
No, I want Ronnie to get his first.
I don't need a blue dot. People know who
you're
going to
get,
okay?
Yours first, by the way.
I'm the guy with a headshot from like 30 years ago. Okay, winking. That's me. That's my. Everybody knows it's me. Okay, so then who else? Oh, Wendy.
Wendy.
This is going to be a 10-hour recap, by the way. Sorry.
I know.
Some Mondays suck, and some Mondays are glorious. And this is a glorious Monday. So just sit tight, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, it's glorious. There's a gunman outside. There's helicopters going around. It's a great day.
Giselle's in the shade. Come on, let's relax. This professor doesn't just grade on a curve. She sets the curve.
Okay. Well, isn't that what a professor does? I mean, it's fine. It's fine.
I mean, I guess. I don't know. I don't like grading. I don't like grading in my Housewives taglines. I don't like grading anywhere, okay?
Grades and back adjustments. That's the big theme so far. And then Karen, the Grand Dame can never be duplicated, imitated, or intimidated. Or
masticated. Or rotated.
Masticated.
Neighborhood gated.
Educated.
Table weighted.
Graduated.
Emaciated.
Illuminated.
Tarotated.
Coffee table aided.
You win. I'm out of aided's. Cheese grated.
Baba ganoushated.
Uninflated.
Deflated.
Publicly stated.
Reinstated. Is that what you just said?
I don't know. Okay, so that's that. Okay. So now, Wendy is... I didn't mean like you have to stop. I just meant that's that for the taglines.
It's okay. I understood.
I give up on the aided.
And that's okay. That.
Bossy bottom Monday.
Stifulated. Okay, now we see Wendy slinking around in her fur coat. It's like iPhone footage, and she's like, in a fur coat, and she's like walking to a door jam, and then she gets the door jam and the lights go off, and then it's like Wendy doing a sexy dance against red light, and then we hear, you are cordially invited to the nude interlude, redefining what it means to look and feel sexy. All guests are asked to wear shades of nude for a fun night of dinner, drinks, and a couple special surprise guests. So it's funny just reading this now, having watched the episode and coming back to read these lines right now, which I haven't done, I love that she says this is going to redefine what it means to look and feel sexy, when literally all that happens is that Wendy reveals her new boobs, which is not a redefinition. It is a confirmation of like what people have always said is what it means to look sexy. If anything, yes. She's confirmed age-old ideas of sexiness and perhaps made some people feel unsexy in the process.
Yes. How to feel good about yourself. Get new boobs, okay? Get plastic surgery. That's what you do.
We're going to redefine sexiness. Guys, here's the new sexiness. Big boobs. Wow. and making yourself look like you're naked. Who would have thought?
Yeah. You really changed that one up. Thanks. Change the
yeah,
world.
Thanks.
So this whole video of her dancing in her fur in like the entrance to her bathroom is the most awkward. You know, some of it looks really good. And then some of it, like, is she pooping on the wall? Because like she has a moment where she does this like squat against the wall. I'm not really sure, but you know, the video is not going to keep me from the party, but having a nude party, no. No. I'm sorry. Maybe it's because I live in West Hollywood, but no. No. I've been there. I've done that. I'm never going to do that again. Nope.
Nude interlude. No.
Yeah.
It's a new conclude. That's what it is for you. So
I want to be in my own bathroom nude. I'm not going to drive my ass to your house nude. Fucking crazy.
I thought this was what I liked about this invitation was that to me it just seemed like really one of the most honest portrayals of the pandemic, which is someone just so deeply bored in at home that she has nothing to do but to make some sort of pseudo TikTok thing and then just like send it off to all her friends as if anyone cares. Just this is just what 2020 was, making strange content for each other. Yeah. Although I never did anything like that, I'm sorry to say. But I probably made many other stupid, like, I definitely sent people lots of things from Animal Crossing that were very entertaining to me, but probably not entertaining to anyone else anywhere, ever.
Well, we see Eddie taking this video, and he, you know, it's like when people do those boudoir pictures for their husband. They're like, yeah, I'm doing something sexy for my husband. But that's not this at all. He's just, like, holding the dog in one hand and the video in the other hand, like, all right. Are we done here?
It was pandemic. This is like pandemic activity. It's like, what else do we have to do?
Make so then, bread. Okay, that's what you do.
This is long after the bread phase. This is December. The bread phase ended in like June. Okay, so now we go to Giselle's West Wing. Ah, And she's on the phone with Grace, who I guess is in a different wing. Ah! And Grace is like, what's for lunch? And Giselle's like, when am I going to get you guys to a place where you can make your own lunch? And really the star of the scene is Giselle's shirt, because she's wearing... did you notice her shirt that she was wearing?
No, what'd it say?
So it didn't say... Well, it said so much without actually any text on it. The text would have been actually a little bit more refined. It had like pinstripes, vertical pinstripes... for most of the shirt, but then there's also some panels that had like pinstripes going in different directions, and the sleeves were plaid. It was just like the most Giselle way to start the season.
No, I'm a person who just kind of blacks out trauma. So if I just see a head. I see her beautiful head.
Floating head.
That's the
smartest way to do it. That's the smartest way.
So then over at Karen's house, Karen is talking to a plant. And she's like, all right, baby.
Also pandemic.
Mama's going to feed you now. There you go. I'm so thirsty.
Audrey too is just like, I'm not even gonna say anything. I'm just gonna pretend to be a regular plant right now. I can't. I'm just gonna pretend to die so I can be kicked out of this house.
I'm not eating this lady. Okay, she smells like her perfume. I will not be eating this lady.
Oh please, oh please, grow for me,
grow for me, Ray.
I've given you sunshine. I've given you la dame. You've given me nothing. Nothing at all, you firebox.
This is Odd Ray 2.
Odd Ray 2.
So then we go to Robin's new house, and she's taking selfies. And it's not built yet. You know, it's in the process of being built. And she's taking a selfie with Juan in front of the house. And she's like, are you excited, Juan? And he's like,
I am.
Thrilled. They look thrilled for their new McMansion.
Yeah. And they actually show a couple of clips of, you know, Robin's moving around. Look at Robin packing stuff. And she keeps going, are you excited, Juan? Are you excited, Juan? Poor Juan.
Yeah. Juan hasn't been excited in 7 years. Let's
literally
be honest.
Ever for anything. Okay.
Never.
Yeah.
Never. Never been excited.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then we go to, it says Candace's / Dorothy's townhouse, which is funny. And then it goes, sold for $800,000. And now we go to Candace's new house, which is, again, another McMansion, just right in there in suburbia. And it's 10,000 square feet and $1.1 million and 6 beds and 7 bathrooms. Why? Don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why the two of them need that many bedrooms and bathrooms, but they did it, and it's an exciting, exciting chapter en route to their bankruptcy.
I like their smart ass contractor, because she's like, my bonus kids are coming from Florida, so I want this room to be homey but beautiful, and he's like, so a sanctuary.
Yeah, meanwhile, it's like a two-story living room, all in gray, like about as cold and unhomey as possible. I don't know what she's going to do in there.
Yeah, it is a kind of depressing house. But good for her, you know? That's the American way. Debt! Let's debt it up, yeah. People. I'm in.
Exactly. And then we go over to Ashley, who's with the breakout star of last season, Baby Dean. Wah-wah. Wah-wah. I'm 18 months old. Well, I still want that chicken milk.
You can't change your family, but you can change my diaper. Get on it, mother.
So Michael comes in. They're trying to do the happy family bit right now. So Michael comes in. He's like, hello, I'm home. I'm home from a day full of work, of calls and picking up folders, and I'm home. Happy family.
This is the most awkward scene. Oh, my God. Because, you know, Michael hates being on this show. And yeah. He hates having to film these scenes, and it just makes him look guilty as hell every single time. And he comes in and basically he's like, what am I, chopped liver? If you're not, because he's playing with the kid, you know, his car.
Yeah, so
the kid's
jealous.
Got one of those fucking cars, right? So the kid's driving the car into all the walls. And he's like, listen, if you're not going forward, you're not going anywhere. Drive better.
He drives like his mother. That's the end of my charm. Can I please get out of the bedroom now? She's like, no, we're going to talk about our relationship now. She's like, God damn it.
Yeah, he gets very, he's like really trying to show that he's a happy dad, but then Baby Dean just like crashes his car into the wall and he goes, oh, the Venetian plaster. I'm happy. I'm so, so happy.
So Ashley is like, wow, we're at the home stretch. Only 10 days till the next baby. Because she's about to pop with her next little wah-wah. And he's like, yep. Well, you know what we need to do, Ashley, is put together that bassinet. And she's like, oh, I'll get it. No, you're not going to fucking get it. You're about to have a baby in 5 minutes. And what the hell is he acting like you're his task rabbit?
Yeah, and I think that she's starting to front load her excuses for Michael's behavior because she goes, well, you know, because I didn't grow up with a father of my own, I didn't know what fatherhood looked like. Which I guess is to show that why maybe she might be more lax about Michael's, you know, bad fathering. Should we see some of that? And then we get a flashback. It's so cruel. She's like, you know, because I didn't grow up with a father of my own. And we get a flashback of her, like, getting the door slammed on her face by her biological father to relive that trauma. I'm like, what? This show is so cruel. Sad. Like, it one is. Of the most heartbreaking scenes. And they're just going to throw it in there during this light, happy moment.
Like their happy music. But yeah, now I didn't know what fatherhood looks like. But, you know, now after watching Michael, I know it means always having ones for any aunties that you might take my son to visit to. And I'm gone, so that's been fun.
Yeah, she's like, Michael is the most incredible father, and yes, he's Dean's favorite, and I know with his baby, this baby coming in, Michael is gonna be a great dad. He's just a great, great dad, you know, just going to the strip club and waking up with other strippers, you know, so he can learn their stories and apply it to our child, I guess. Great dad.
I know he's going to stay a good dad for the second baby, too. Like, oh, my God, Ashley, just leave. Run. She always looks so sad, and he always looks miserable. He's doing that whole, like, all right, I said my lines. Now I'm just biting my lips and watering my eyes and looking miserable.
He's just biding his time till he can go back to the MGM casino, and they have this very forced banter where she's talking about how she's trying to look pretty for him, and he goes, oh, look at your shit. You got a tiger on there. There's a tiger. Wow. Look at the sparks between us. I mentioned the tiger on your shit.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, it's really hard to maneuver this new family. You know, I just can't imagine us having 6 children. And he's like, oh, my God, just fucking kill me. And then he just goes, we'll work through that. Lip bite, lip bite, lip bite, lip bite. And she says that they haven't had sex since she was 5 months pregnant. And I think, here we go again. Like you said, front loading the excuses for Michael. I'm worried about this season with Ashley.
Yeah, because she's like, well, I thought to myself, I mean, since we haven't had sex in so long, is Michael going to cheat on me? Is he going to be unfaithful? This is not good. These are not questions you want to have lingering in your relationship, okay? And it seems like she's almost taken on the role of being the cause of those questions, right? Like, she's like, well, I can't even imagine having sex right now, but now I wonder if he's going to cheat on me. It's not, that's a Michael issue. That's not an Ashley issue.
Yeah. And she's like, well, one thing I want to do more differently is be open when we're upset. He's like,
sure. Fully holding back his emotions of whatever's on his mind. And she's like, so do you feel more comfortable sharing your feelings when you're with Dean? She's like, yep. Mm-hmm. I feel, yep, communication, yep. There's nothing else on my mind right now.
Now I'm in a family place, so I'm looking forward to it. Can I leave now? Please let me just leave now.
I need to buy some new Venetian plaster again.
Candace.
Yeah, Candace, she just got a light bulb thing so she can change light bulbs. I like that. I like that Candace doesn't have any bright ideas of her own, so she has to just get a pole to basically get an idea that's just way out of her reach. Like, she's just incapable of having one on her own.
A light bulb pole. So Jiz comes and she's like, wow, George and Weezy done moved on up. Love that show. And so she gets a tour of the mansion,
She's wearing like, I wrote a down silver cravat. Yeah, yeah.
Again, it's, all I see is a floating head. I didn't see what she was wearing.
It was like there's a lot of shine in what she was wearing. So Naya is Chris's bonus child, as they say, and she comes downstairs and she's like, "Hi, I'm Naya," and then she just stares at Giselle the rest of the episode, and Giselle's like trying to communicate with her. She's like, "Well, you have beautiful eyes." And Naya just stares at her like, "I'm just going to stare at you until you leave our house."
And Candace says, "Yeah, everyone tells her that." And Giselle says, "So do I. Me too. Everyone tells me that too." And she just stares at her. That Naya, you know those kids who like will do anything to please you and just make you feel comfortable? That's not Naya. Naya's just going to... Naya's that kid who you wake up in the middle of the night and she's just standing at the foot of your bed. Like, is everything okay?
Are you okay, Naya? So Candace is happy because the kids are in town way longer than they normally get to stay. Because normally it's just a brief visit, but because of COVID, they're going to be here for a whole month. So you know the kids are like, oh my God, a month with our crazy stepmother is the last thing that they wanted. And Candace is like, well, you know, I want to be more comfortable in my momness. And so far it's been a haze. So I'm just figuring it out as I go, which means that she's probably a terror to those children at all times.
Yeah, she's probably the kind who's like, do you want to look at pictures from my beauty contest?
Yeah. So Giselle's like, Lord Jesus, won't he do it? Finally, she done left her mama's purse.
So then we see the guest room, which is, of course, for Dorothy. And there's something that says, welcome to Dorothy's Diamond Jubilee. It's like a big invitation. And then a life-size Blockbuster video cutout of Dorothy right by her bed.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just lunacy in this entire family. This is just, it's, I was wondering if there was going to be like maybe like a life-size cutout of like a bag that when you walk in the room, it just like swings up and hits you. Like it's attached to a string somehow to the door, just right in the face.
Dorothy to the face. So then we get, then they sit down to talk and we find out that Candace is in her second semester going for her master's and, you know, laudable, but still don't like you. Can't help it. I'm trying to start over with a new season, but it's hard with Candace.
You're under no obligation to start over on a new season.
Really?
You really aren't under. No. Why do you have to start over? There's no need.
I don't know, because it's nice. Start There's over so many episodes, right. You know. It feels like everybody should get a fresh chance, but I'm just not feeling it yet. Especially when she asks for food and Chris brings her out cut fruit. Okay, if you ever... Don't feed me that. I came all the way to your house, okay? Order me something or make a tuna sandwich. Something. Cut fruit.
Also, this guy, Giselle's like, so what's he doing with his life? And he's apparently teaching cooking online. So this is what he's going to pull out? You know, supermarket fruit that's diced up? For crying out loud. If you're on TV and you're trying to promote your online cooking courses, you better have something much better than this. I mean, at least do that strange quesadilla French toast or whatever it was that he made last season. You know, at least try that.
Yeah, and I also hate doing math, and I feel like these people are making me do math, right? Because he's not really doing... I mean, he's doing his online teaching or whatever, but let's be honest. Do you buy $1 million house when you're... And then Candace is studying for her master's. So I'm like, where is this money coming from? Stop making me add stuff up in my head. And then I'm like, and then they have store-bought cut fruit. And that's expensive because they didn't even cut their own fruit. So then how much is that? You know, I'm like starting to add it all together.
Yeah. And isn't she doing her master's from Howard? Did I catch that right?
Yeah,
I'm just trying to remember. I didn't write down. Howard is not like, you know, Howard is like a legitimate esteemed institution, and it's not cheap. Okay, so I don't understand. I'm not here to count other people's pennies, but I am here to count their marble columns, and I don't understand how someone who is teaching online cooking and someone who is going for their master's at an esteemed institution is gonna afford a $1.1 million house. But you know what, God bless, enjoy it.
Yeah, okay. So then they start talking about COVID, and Giselle is asked about Jamal, and she's like, things are not good. And she says, well, are you going to break up again? And she says, well, no, you know, it's just that I need somebody closer to me, and it's COVID, basically. It makes it really hard, even though he's seeing 8,000 people a week, you know, but like, yeah. I don't need that around me during COVID. And, you know, he's gotten probably 20% of them pregnant. Let's be honest. It's Jamal we're talking yeah. about. Okay.
It's Jamal. And so Candace is like, but this is temporary. When it's over, like, what's the deal? And Giselle's like, listen, there's no end date for when it's over. Okay. And Candace says, but we have vaccines coming out. And so then Candace is doubting all this. She's like, COVID, I mean, they've climbed mountains as a couple, which, by the way, they have not climbed any mountains whatsoever. Maybe a speed bump. I think it's actually, if I'm reading between the lines, I would say that Giselle was like, it's a global pandemic. You need to be here with your family. And if this is a serious thing, you need to be with us. And he was like, no, I'm going to stay where I'm doing. And I'm going to still keep doing my thing around 8,000 people. And she probably was like, you can't, if you're going to do that, you have a family and you can't be doing that, be exposing yourself to so many people. And I'm assuming he said, I'm still going to do this. And that's why they broke up.
Oh, in which wow. case, did you forget the reunion?
No, I know, but I'm no. I guess I just got onto an extreme hypothetical of like, of course the reunion, but I'm saying also like Candace saying that this was like not a big deal. I'm like, it is a big deal. Actually, I actually think it is a breakup worthy thing. And then of course there's the reunion too.
Yeah, of course there's possibly impregnating your like what Pilates coach or whatever she was.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that reunion is gold. They played it this yeah. weekend, so I got some...
You're all refreshed.
Yeah, slightly. You know, I had it on while I was cleaning and stuff, which basically means eating at the kitchen counter. Anyway, so basically Giselle doesn't want to talk about it too much. She just gets out that they're not doing very well. And yeah. so Candace is like, well, I wonder if it's the public embarrassment that might have something to do with it. And then...
Posterer.
Yeah, we see clips of the reunion where Karen's like... You know, isn't it true we had a baby with another woman? And then Monique pulling out the Trapper Keeper.
Right. So Candace saying, I wonder if it's the public embarrassment. That's her subtle way of basically saying, Giselle, you should be mad at Karen because, you know, it's the you lost your relationship because Karen was being terrible at the reunion. That's kind of what the implication was there. So that's Candace being crafty.
Yeah. So then let's see. Then we see Candace's confessional look where she's got one orange line drawn in the middle of her eyelids. And it's confusing. It's very confusing.
I blocked out that trauma. See, I didn't look at that.
You did. It's crazy. There's this Facebook thing going around where a makeup artist who's super talented does a painting on your face, and so it makes it it's crazy. It makes it look like your eyes are above your actual eyes. But then when you open your eyes, you see that was a painting the whole time. It's like these creepy. It kind of wow. reminded me of that. Scared me. Okay.
Scary. So now they're hating on Karen. You know, Giselle's calling Karen a hater and Candace is saying that she's wilding out. And Candace then says she just doesn't want to go there with Karen because she loved Karen like a sister, like an auntie. And then the rug of friendship was ripped from under her. I'm like, there was no rug of friendship that was ripped from under her. She basically was like, I don't want to get involved in your stupid ass lawsuit. And then you took that as a personal thing. You ripped your own rug out from under yourself. And guess what? It was a bad rug, too. It was a shitty, shitty rug from Marshalls. Okay. And
that your mom also probably paid for.
That your mom paid for.
Karen and Ray. Ray is coming up the stairs as Ray does.
They make him go up and down a lot of stairs on this show. Poor guy.
Yeah, really slowly. And so they're doing the happy marriage act two. We're just like, oh, mm-hmm. Ray! Oh, Ray, I noticed the purging has all become my project.
Yeah. And he's like, well, that's because everything that's being purged is yours. Oh, Ray, you're hilarious, Ray.
And then we see that one of the things in their purge closet is a guitar, which scares me. I'm not sure who was like, you know what, it's COVID. I'm going to take guitar lessons, but I don't really want to hear either one of these people practicing their G chord. Okay.
Oh, that was when I was part of the seminal rock group, the Mamas and the Rayrays.
I've got a new song coming out with my family members. It's called Bop. Right?
Hmm. So then she's like, well, you know, I wanted to find my wedding gown for Raven. So that way if she gets married, she can wear it. But she doesn't have to wear it because guess what? We'll cut a patch out of it and put it right on there somewhere. So she'll have a patch of me in her gown, Ray.
So they're still going to renew their vows, but she doesn't want to call it renewing your vows because basically on Bravo, that means you're going to get divorced and everybody does it or your marriage is in serious trouble. So yes. She's like, I've come up with a new name for it. It's so nice. We had to do it twice. I'm like, what is it? A croissant? Don't name it that.
That's a tagline. That's not a renaming. It's like, I want to invite everyone to my so nice. We had to do it twice. It's like, what does that mean? No, that's a tagline. That's not a rebrand.
So how was your so nice? We had to do it twice.
What?
So how was your so nice we had to do it twice last weekend?
See, I couldn't even understand when you said it. That's why it's such a bad brand. Oh, I hope you all come. We're going to our so nice we had to do it twice. Just call it a remarriage. That's all you have to call it.
Getting on Craigslist. All right, I need a band for my so nice we had to do it twice. Is there any so nice we had to do it twice singers here?
I could be on guitar if you need me to. So, Karen's like, 25 years? Yes, it's an institution. Some people ain't together for 25 seconds. Some people can't get a man out of the phone to show up in person.
Well, we're not going to do an over-the-top thing, right? Are we? Are we, Karen? Please, no. Karen, please.
She's like, oh, hell yes.
Ray's like, I have to feed the plant downstairs another human. We're trying to keep a low profile. So she's like, do you have an objection to my over-the-topness? And then she tells this crazy story about, like, you know, it's funny because Ray actually canceled our first wedding. He got angry because I decided to go traveling. And he said, you don't get to go traveling. They took the keys from me. And as evidence of all this, here's a photo of me with a caption that says, Young Hot Karen.
Yeah, that was so cold. The editor is Young Hot Karen. Now, this this story she tells is very Sonia Morgan. Because she says he canceled the wedding because she went traveling and didn't tell him. And so when she finally came back, he took the ring back. That's very Sonia, except Sonia, you know, like, got divorced or whatever. But, yeah, it's that old man. You marry an older man, he wants to know where you are, okay?
They do.
At all times.
They really do. They really do. Well, but now I got the ring, and I'm going to be very modern and take my wedding ring and put it on my doorbell. I hear that's the thing. Ring doorbells. So modern.
So Ray's like, you know, I had it in mind we could ceremoniously just tell people that we loved each other. You know, we're a little old for a wedding. And she's like,
too old. Speak for yourself.
I'm going to sit on your lap now, Ray.
Sit on your lap, Ray.
And she says that she's only going to invite women in their circle that love them. And Giselle's not a friend. You know, I had to step back and look at that. And I held that hope for so long. And what I found instead was, instead of hope, I found just a small dark void of nothingness and bad patterns.
So then back with Giselle, still shit-talking with Candace, she's like, but last year I did not say one bad thing about Karen. Oh, yeah. You're both angels, you and Karen.
Angels.
Mm-hmm.
I said she has enough on her plate. Her husband does not love her. She does not like his ding-dong. And of course, you know, if you give her too much of a plate, she eats everything on it. So I said, let me leave her alone with her sad marriage with a broken penis.
I was watching Real Housewives of Potomac clips on YouTube the other day, just because, you know, that's how I roll. And I forgot that their longest running fight from before the show was even on was over a cookie contest, like a baking contest.
Oh, yeah.
Karen accuses Giselle of cheating in the cookie contest, and Giselle accuses Karen of cheating in the cookie contest. So
I forgot.
These two have been going at it for like a decade.
Yeah, they really have been. So Giselle says, well, if you want to make up lies, I can just tell your truth. You're not going to make up lies about me and my family for a year, and it's cool. It's not.
Giselle, that stuff is all on the blogs. Nobody's making it up. I mean, unless the bloggers are, but it's not like someone's just making it up. You're with Jamal. Jamal's a piece of crap, okay?
He did this to you once before. And you were the one who was spreading this stuff beforehand until you decided that you wanted him back in your life, okay? This is not crazy. This is not Karen's fault.
Yeah. So then Candace is like, well, you know, there is a lot. that can be said about Karen.
And Giselle goes, yes, sir. And Candace says, can you let me know the day you do this so I can have my hard hat on? Thank you. So then we go back to Karen, and she's like, you know, she's misdirecting her anger towards me, and she needs to direct it towards the man that hurt her.
And then we see clips come up on the screen that say, Jamal hints that he's single. And then another one says, Jamal got on live and confirmed everything Monique said about him.
And so then Karen's phone starts to ring, and she's like, okay, Ray, my phone's ringing, so I'm going to sit on your lap, as any wife with a wonderful marriage would do. Look at me. Just look at our chemistry, our 25-year institution chemistry. I'm just going to sit on your lap, and, oh, I'm sliding off a little bit, Ray. You're going to have to hold up your knee a little bit stronger for me, Ray.
I can't feel it. I can't Ray? Feel it.
Okay. All right. I still have an ankle on your knee, but my butt is on your ankle. This is not the look I'm looking for.
Feel it.
Right. Okay. So we're gonna pull over that rope, and I'm just gonna hold myself. Look at this natural on your lap.
Feed me to the plant.
He'll be a dentist. That's Ray's new job.
So then we see all the housewives getting the invitation to this nude party. Wendy is squatting on a wall party.
The nude interlude.
The nude interlude. And Karen's like, what is that? Ray. And he's like, where are my glasses? I want to see it closer. She's like, do not look at Wendy that close, Ray. Let me see it again.
No, Wendy is not an emoticon. You cannot make her larger on your phone, Ray. And then Robin's looking at it. She's like, hey, Wendy, I don't know what this is, but why can't you just say, come over?
Yes. And let's see. Who's next? I wrote a lot of stuff down.
Everyone was just looking at it. And then we wind up going with Wendy and Eddie are arriving at like a doctor's office, and Wendy has new boobs because she was breastfeeding. And so she wanted to do this for herself. And so she says, being a professor, being a commentator, you're supposed to fit in a certain box. And I said, I don't want to fit in that box, which is why I got large breasts to literally bust down one side of the box's walls. And then they show her literally in a box on screen, like on MSNBC.
Yeah, she's like, I want to be my authentic self, which is why I changed my face and my boobs.
I want to be my authentic self by putting silicone inside me.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm all for it. We should all look better. I want to have a boob party. Like, I want a boob lift and a facelift and all that stuff. But when I do it, I'm not going to walk around like, I did this so I can be more my authentic self. No.
I know.
My authentic self is like licking the bottom of a Domino's box, you know, and like showing my butt crack to the neighborhood every time I take out the trash. That's my authentic self.
Yeah. Authentic self is saying, you know what? I just saw myself on TV for a year, and I think I want bigger boobs because I didn't like how I looked.
Yeah.
So then Dr. Michaels comes in, and then like Wendy's sort of, she's in her, that robe thing. And they open it up, and he's examining post-ops kind of stuff. And we're seeing, like, a full-on scar. We're just seeing what appears to be, like, I would imagine, like, a tummy tuck scar. I could be wrong. Watch everyone be like, that is a scar that you get when you have a baby.
A cesarean. And then, it's probably a cesarean. C-section.
Yeah, watch me being like, it's a tummy tuck. Okay, I've shamed myself, everyone.
That's like a tummy untuck. A cesarean.
The mommy tuck.
That's all your guts were just on the table tuck.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm not shaming the scar. I'm just, the point is that she is being very coy about having other stuff done, and she's acting like that she only had her boobs and nothing else, but then they like zoom in close on a scar. So it's almost like Bravo is saying, look, a scar. She's lying.
Well, she's saying, if I had work done, I would admit it. I don't need to lie. I'm like, okay, well, we'll hold you to that, Kyle Richards.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Be honest.
Just be honest. You know, I think it's unfair for all these people having surgery. I mean, play fair, ladies. Am I right? Kyle's infamous season one line.
So then Wendy's going to be like, well, I really only wanted to get my boobs done, but then Michael Myers threw a cement block at my butt, so I had to get that done also.
Yeah, I was hit in the chest when I was watching Halloween. Now, all this said, like all teasing of Wendy aside, great glow up. She looks amazing.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I thought she looked amazing beforehand, to be honest. But I think this was, it looks great. Great work. She doesn't look like a crazy person. So, you know, well done.
Yeah. So then we go to Robin, and she's trying to parallel park, you know, because that's a Robin storyline.
That's very on brand for Robin, you know, parallel parking, trying to make a left turn on a across a busy street. Juan, there's no opening, Juan.
So she's at Juan. She's with Juan at Sunset Raw, which nothing sounds more romantic than that. The minute they open the door, he's like,
"Smells like veggies in here."
Who would have thought a veggie place would smell like that? So then the producer says, "Okay, gotta ask again. When are you guys getting married?" And she's like, "Well, a pandemic hit, and we're building a home in virtual school with two boys. It's a nightmare. You know, one day we'll have a wedding, but right now it's not first on our to-do list."
So Juan is keeping his mask on in the restaurant. She's like, "Still too scared? Okay, well, listen, I just want us to be healthy, you know, but at the same time, our kids are eating Chick-fil-A every day." And he's like, "Yeah, and you know what? That makes me crazy. You know what you need to do? Wake up. You need to wake up, because all you do is sleep in. Okay, this is your routine. Sometimes you don't start the day till 2 p.m. She's like, "Oh, say 12. That sounds 12 sounds better." He's like, "Oh, my God."
Yeah, he's like, "I don't like that. That's a turnoff." I actually didn't like him dressing her down for this, because what Robin says next is actually probably one of the most real things we've heard on any of these shows about the pandemic. The pandemic has kind of been this incidental thing on Bravo where they now have to wear masks, or like, oh, a vacation plan gets messed up. But Robin tells us, she goes, "You know what? I've just been burnt out. You know, pandemic is meshing together. It's every days are just like meshing together. There's nothing to look forward to, nothing to get dressed for. I could see," and I just felt like that has been the experience for so many people. And it was like the first time that that's really been addressed on Bravo. And I also feel like it's such a real thing that people are going through. So that for Juan to be like, get up. It's not attractive. Get up. I thought it was actually a little cruel.
Yeah, she's depressed as hell. Jeez.
Yeah, I didn't think that was, I thought that was, I know he was trying to give tough love, but I felt like it was incredibly unsympathetic at that moment.
Yeah, and she's like, "But I'm overwhelmed and I shut down." And he's like, "You know what would make it better? And that kid that we've been wanting, that kid. Hey, how about you fucking marry her before you ask her for twins, okay? Just because you want little girls, okay? I don't think you're in the place to be asking for anything at this point, sir, okay?"
Exactly.
Just because
and
you went with
her.
Giselle to get a free ring on TV does not mean that suddenly you're like the good guy and we're all rooting for you. No, sir.
Yeah, and then he's like guilting her about like, "Oh, a little girl would have been the cherry on top, and now we can't because you wake up at 10 a.m. for crying out loud.
How about we can't because you fucking cheated, okay? Let's go back there." And you don't get to just tell your wife, who's just told you she's like extremely depressed, to get off her ass so she can give you some more children when you're not even giving her the wedding she's been asking you for 6 years, sir.
Yeah, if this is supposed to be some sort of motivational shit or some like basketball coaching, you know, motivation, it doesn't read well. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. And he says, "Sleeping can't be your number one priority." Oh, really? Oh. And that's when I just started backing up my chair like I was in a saloon. I was like,
"Get wasn't him. He in a funk like this? Wasn't he in a funk like this a few seasons ago?" I may be remembering incorrectly, but I could have sworn he was also in a like unemployed, you know, funk, not doing anything with his life, you know, and then he finally got the coaching job, right? Or am I just now just angry and
yeah, I think so.
Storylines.
Yeah.
Sure. Let's just say it is.
Yeah, I think so. So then we go to Candace with her bonus family in the kitchen with Chris, and Naya is still there refusing to give any smiles. She's like, what?
And her face is like all blue. She drank some Gatorade and her tongue is blue, but then it's like she also has like a Gatorade mustache and no one bothers to wipe it off. Like this is where I feel like Candace is failing as a bonus mother, is that her bonus daughter has a blue mustache on her face on national TV and she doesn't even bother to wipe it off.
Well, those are kids though, you know, they're always stained with something.
I know the kids are always stained with something. Well, maybe that, but I'm just saying, I feel like here's my theory. I feel like if it were Candace's own biological daughter, she would be wiping every single smudge off her on camera. But because it's not her own, she just lets her other daughter have a blue mustache.
Well, then I hope that it becomes true that Naya does stand at the edge of the bed, just scaring them in the middle of the night. Hello, yeah. Mother.
I love how it worked out. I love my blue mustache theory, like the most inessential theory of all time.
Yeah, you're really upset about the blue mustache.
I'm like, I'm not upset about the blue mustache. I'm upset that Candace, I have worked it up in my mind that Candace would give preferential treatment to a theoretical other child. That's all I'm upset about. That in my mind there is another child, and
you're
pretty
mad about future season Candace.
future mustaches on other children.
So Chris is gonna make a sauce, and I'm waiting for him to open like a jar of ragu, you know, because I'm still mad about the cut fruit. So then they talk about how, you know, this is a challenge for Candace, you know, because she's now learning to raise these kids during a pandemic and they have homeschool and stuff. So she's helping Naya with her homework, and Mateo's there too, her son. So they're sitting there looking over this homework, and they start reading through the problems. And it's like there are 28 more students than adults at the school fair, and there are 96 adults. How many Moniques fucked over the entire school? Yes, anyone who wants to take this.
How many adults pretended to sleep while other adults walked away and waved goodbye? And she goes, this is like an SAT question. I'm like, it's literally just subtraction.
Yeah, you're going for your master's. At least try to solve this one.
Could you please put some effort into this?
You just plugged Howard University. Like, let's make some kind of effort.
I know. As the first of a few math problems that we get this episode. So then, you know, do Candace and Chris see kids running around the house one day? Maybe, but Candace doesn't trust penises. And she's like, well, as my mom said, I would be your fourth baby mama. He's like, God, third, not fourth, for crying out. Get away from my kid's math homework. You can't even get my math right.
So then we go back to Giselle's West Wing, and everybody's basically getting ready for this nude party. And she's trying to put on a pink dress, and Grace is like, that's pink. And she goes, sometimes I'm pink. And she's like, no, you're not pink. Okay. Nude, mother.
Yeah. And then we get sort of like a remix of the Britney and JX with their dog putting, where we have Ashley putting sunglasses on baby Dean. And instead of saying, you're a cool guy, it's like, cool baby. Watch out now. Cool baby.
You're a cool guy, Kingsley. You're a cool guy.
It's right. I know I'm a cool baby. Now get out of here, mother. I've invited some whores over because they're going to give me some baby food.
So then Robin's house, of course, there's a pillow fight. And Carter takes a minute out to just criticize her outfit. Love that kid.
Yeah, and she's still turning to them for fashion advice, which is a problem.
And then back at Candace's house, we see that she's getting ready. And she says, it just keeps coming out. What does that mean? What was she talking about?
Pooping.
Really?
Yeah, she was shitting.
Ew. And then we see a close-up of a champagne glass with gum on the rim.
I did not notice the gum on the rim. Again, that was my, again, more trauma that I blocked out. I don't like looking at gum in places. I don't like gum.
So then we go to Wendy singing. She's so excited for her party, and she's got party planners over there. And she's got little cupcakes made to look like boobies.
Yeah. So she and Eddie invite the kids up from the basement to have cupcakes. And they're like, okay, close your eyes. And guess what? Look what you have. And they like open their eyes. And the kids, by the way, they're so cute. And they're wearing these T-shirts that say, I'm with Cupid. I don't even understand why. It doesn't seem like – I don't understand why they're wearing those shirts. But I thought it was cute that they were. And so then they're like, so what do you think this cupcake is? What does it look like? And the kids just stare at it. And you think for a moment, like, are they just going to say breasts? What's going on here with these kids and this family? But they just say chocolate.
Yeah, they're like, chocolate. And they're like, we raised you well. So then the first to arrive is Giselle. And she's like, I knew that Wendy was Nigerian. I just didn't know she lived in Nigeria. Those are the kind of jokes you make under awnings.
That's why my face is so young. And she's like, and Wendy, you're clearly stuck in customs because you're not at the front door to greet me. Where are you at? So it's a classic Potomac situation where someone is upstairs and everyone has to wait downstairs at a party. I mean, that goes back to the very, very, the series premiere, Charisse. Yeah. And the
crab, but at least Giselle didn't go up this time. You see, Giselle learned. She learned that it's, she has to stay downstairs, or Charisse would come in and go, is that a pun?
Is that a pun? And Charisse just tumbles down the stairs on a hoverboard. Yeah. So then Robin's next, and the chef, I thought it was the chef at first, but I think he's just like a guy. He wasn't the chef, because it was a lady who was a chef. He's just a guy who helps out. So he opens the door and offers, like, welcomes her to the nude interlude, and Robin comes in, and Giselle starts doing that hammy thing where to play up the fact that the host isn't there. So she's like, let me take your coat. Come on over here. I'll take your coat. I'm the host now.
And they're looking over the name tags on the table. And Robin's like, who's Mia? It's like, do you know that bitch? I don't know that bitch. And then we cut to Mia. Mia with Karen, who's in a front fur.
Yes. And they're on the way. And Karen is like, Mia's a boss. We met through a business acquaintance. And it turns out that Mia... owns several franchises of the Joint Chiropractic. I don't know why that cracked me up. There's nothing wrong with owning franchises of the Joint Chiropractic, but I guess it was just the way that Karen was talking about her, like this amazing entrepreneur who went onto Shark Tank and launched something that's revolutionized daily American life. And it's like she just owns various joint chiropractics, you know?
And they show a clip of Karen getting an adjustment. And, of course, you hear a crack, and Karen's like, like when I first met Ray.
Yes, when I first met Ray, he put me on a table and broke my vertebrae. Can't say vertebrae without Ray.
So then we see last week with Wendy, because Karen's saying, well, you know, I talked to Wendy and I asked her if it was polite for me to bring my friend to the party, and of course Wendy said it was fine. Oh. So then we cut to that lunch, and Karen's like, well, Wendy, I think that we just didn't get to know each other. I mean, we had a lot of women interfering with us getting to know each other. And Wendy goes, I just feel like we come from different times. And the music just stops.
Okay. So, because Karen says that she wants to talk to Wendy woman to woman and reset the button. Not push the reset button, but just reset the button entirely. I just want a different type of button in here. Okay.
So then I love that Wendy's just like, you're old. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. And Karen also says things again. She's like, well, you know what I love about Mia is that I love that we're both entrepreneurs. We like to play. And, you know, she shares her ideas about business, and she's a little quirky. She's a total package. She really gets to the joint, or the point, I should say.
So then she's telling Mia, well, it was my first time at her home, but this ride, because apparently Wendy lives, you know, like an hour and a half from everybody else.
Super far, like close to freaking Pennsylvania. And it's like Karen thinks it's like 100 miles away or something. So they're just riding, and then Ashley arrives, and and she's basically like, were we supposed to come at a different time? Like, where's the host? Like, what's going on here? Or maybe Giselle says that. So Giselle and Robin, they take Ashley's coat and welcome her into the home.
Yes. And then Wendy announces from upstairs that she's coming down for whatever reason. So then she comes down, and who cares? Can we just get to the meat here? Where are we? Karen, can I skip to Karen? Okay, yeah. So back in the car, Karen's like, well, I can't wait for you to meet everyone. This is a Karen monologue. I love a Karen monologue. I can't wait for you to meet everyone. I'm most excited to see Candace. I haven't seen her in a while, but our relationship has been through a lot. I'm looking for a new direction. The most I'll do is take her temperature. I don't want... she's been through a lot. She's been through a lot.
Yeah, she's been through a lot, and, you know, I'm just so excited to be here with Mia, a business entrepreneur! You've seen her on the front of Forbes Chiropractor magazine, you know?
Now, so, listen, you starting your own businesses, me starting my own businesses, you meeting Giselle hating new, younger people. well, that's what's going to happen, because that's how Giselle is. And, you know, she's never received the new younger woman. But, well, maybe it could work for you. Who could be cold towards you?
Me, a business entrepreneur. So then Ashley tries to put on some, like, nice shoes. And you know, she's, like, her ankles are swollen, etc. And Giselle and Robin are like, Ashley, like, why are you doing that? She's like, I just want to look nice. Like, Ashley, please. They're like, please, just sit down, put on your flats. So then Giselle starts asking, so this Mia person, is that your friend? And Wendy's like, no, that's Karen's friend. Oh, that's nice. Karen needs friends.
Well, hello, hello, hello. It's me, Karen Entrepreneur. Just wanted you to introduce you to my friend Mia, who's very similar to me, and that she's a woman who owns multiple businesses.
Yeah, and Mia's like, hi, Wendy. Thank you so much for having me in your home. And Giselle just stares at her, just this nasty-ass stare from the couch.
Yeah, and she's like, well, Karen comes in, and here's what needs to happen. She's been talking about me and my family. You need to apologize to me immediately. And she needs to run up to me and say, girl, I'm sorry I bumped my head, and Ray don't love me.
Yeah, I lost my head. So
I bumped my head and Ray doesn't love me.
So Giselle goes, she goes, but you're going to saunter down in a ball gown and not say a word. Yeah, no, I'm cool on you. I'm like, Giselle, she has to say hi to the host first yeah, before she starts ignoring you. Like, give her that. So then the girls are just sitting around. They're like, they're just trying to figure out what the hell is a nude interlude. And they start asking that immediately. And Wendy's like, what, no foreplay? And Mia goes, am I the foreplay? I don't mind. And I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, yeah, Mia.
Giselle's going to hate this girl.
Totally.
So Karen's like, well, Mia's just like me. Entrepreneur, gorgeous, 30, gorgeous, an entrepreneur, 29 years old.
Yeah, and she's, yeah, 29. And Mia goes, I own the Joint Chiropractic, and I have several offices up and down the East Coast. So she says it as if she's actually owns the Joint Chiropractic organization or business, right? But she just owns the franchises. And she's like, I have 3 kids, 12, 5, 3, boy, boy, girl. I have a penthouse on the Baltimore Harbor. I know how to drive a car. I've had a license. My favorite food is peas. Yes, peas. I actually really enjoy peas. And I have a watch.
And they're like, but are you Southern? I hear a twang. It's like, oh, we have a home in North Carolina. Oh, good.
I love that they just like, they're like, okay, we got rid of Monique, but we need to have someone else who just like pretentiously brags about everything that they have. Like, bring yes, on Mia. Bring on Mia. Yeah.
And she's, Wendy's like, well, I'm from Durham. And she goes, oh, my grandchildren live there. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what? Grandchildren? She's like, oh, yeah, my husband is 38 years older than I am. And they're like, mm-hmm, oh, wow. And Mia goes, well, you know, when I met him, it's not like he acts like he's 68. And so Robin's like, well, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking? Also, how late do you sleep?
And Mia's like, she looks very stunned that someone would ask that. So she goes, 36. And then they put math up on the screen, but they do it like it's a slow math. Like the numbers sort of arrive, they sort of like fold into the screen very, very slowly. As if it's like the first time I ever felt like font was making fun of what was going on screen. Like the font's like, here's a number and here's another number. Okay.
Font. Yeah, because the math isn't right, right? So if he is 38 years old, here we go.
Yeah, 68 minus 38 is 30, and she said she's 36. And she goes, oh, no, he's 30 years older. And so then they do another slow math, which is 68 minus 30 equals 38. So the girls are still like, okay.
She's like, I don't do math, guys, okay? And now she goes, well, that's just basic arithmetic.
Candace is like, is this the SATs? This subtraction is so difficult right now.
Mm-hmm. So then Wendy's like, well, welcome to Nude Interlude. Now, during quarantine, I thought, what does Wendy want? Who is Wendy? And, you know, there was a point in my life I realized that I'm living for my kids, not for me. And when I was done pumping, I said, what do I want to do? Me, Wendy. Who is Wendy? Am I Wendy? I'm Wendy. I said, hey, Wendy, what do you want to do today? And Wendy was like, what do you want to do? And I was like, no, you. And she's like, I have to pump. And I was like, that's for the kids. So I started deciding what I was going to do. And it goes on for like hours, this story.
And Giselle's like, just land the plane. Nah, Wendy, land the plane.
Land the plane.
So Wendy says, I want to introduce you to my new friends, Happy Ness. And she stands up and takes off her robe, and there are her new boobs, Happy and Ness. And she goes, I got my boobs done and some tweaks. And so they're all like, woo, you know, and they're all, you know, they're all excited. But they're also suspecting that Wendy got more than just boobs done.
Right, so they're trying to ask her what she got. And Robin tells us, oh, I don't believe that. You know, show your boobs, show your butt. We all know there was nothing back there, and now there's something back there. And she starts cracking up. And so Robin's like, is it your face? Is that your tweak? And Karen's like, it looks refreshed.
It looks refreshed like a reset button. Yeah, they show side by side of Wendy's butt last season and then this season. So then they all wind up going over to the table to sit down, and Ashley's asking if Wendy will cover up her boobs for class, and Wendy's talking about how, like, her boobs only pop in certain clothes, like what she's wearing right now, and Karen says, well, you know, confidence is everything. I'm feeling it. I can tell. Wow, I feel so much confidence coming from your breasts and her ownership of the joint chiropractic businesswoman.
And Wendy's like, I just want people to understand that I have layers. I'm not just smart and successful. I can also be sexy. So Mia goes, well, what else did you have done? And she's like, tweaks. What have you had done? Kind of getting defensive. But yeah, you just had a party based on your tweaks and your boobs.
Yes.
So, and you also said in this episode that if you did have something done, you would just admit it because that's the kind of person you are.
Yeah. So she does very... very sort of a snappy way, kind of try to turn it on Mia, you know? So Mia goes, oh, I get Botox every 4 weeks. I get my fillers, I get my lips, I have my four boobs, my tummy tuck, I have my ass done. You know, I even have my clit worked on. And they're like, oh, clit.
Yeah, and she's like, I own it, okay? And Wendy's like, well, okay, well, I haven't done those things that you just listed. Okay, you can't be plastic surgery shaming someone the second you show up looking completely different.
At a plastic surgery party. You can't. The nude interlude. Redefining sexiness.
Yeah. You can't do that.
The women are all just like, just thinking about how much sex Mia's had. And Ashley's like, well, that thing's been beat to a pulp. That's all I can really deduce. Says the woman who was like, started last season by announcing that her like anus is ripped in half. So then, Wendy tells everyone that Candace is sick, and Robin's like, I think she just didn't want to be here. I mean, maybe she's just not ready to be in your presence.
Yeah, yeah, Karen. And, Wendy's like, you guys just need to have a one-on-one. And she's like, well, I'm not going to ignore the fact that she's deeply hurt. I mean, you have to think like me when I'm running my 20 businesses being 30. I think, how is she doing? You know what? Our friendship is worth the conversation.
And Wendy's like, I just hope that collectively you can all be in a great place. And Giselle goes, well, that might be a little difficult. And Ashley says, well, it's good to have goals. And Wendy was like, well, why would it be so difficult, Giselle? She says, well, we all know I can't stand Karen, so. I guess it's just Karen voice, but, you know.
The feeling is mutual. The feeling is mutual. So I've decided to tell the whole truth, your whole truth, and nothing but it. Karen's like, yeah, no, you don't want this.
She goes, me and drunk Karen will probably never be good. Me and drunk Karen,
Yeah, she says, I'm going to tell your truth, your drunk truth, your cheating truth, your broke truth. And Karen's like, oh, you want to talk about your firebox, how your firebox is broken so you can't keep a man with firebox and firebox broken, fire in the box?
Your hot box. You just shut up. Just shut up with your hot box. And she was like, you know what? I'm going to spread it out over time, Ma. I'm going to do it all tonight, over time, over the course of a season, if you will.
Yeah. And all the girls are like, what's a fiery box? What is yeah. that?
And Wendy's like, are you talking about a coochie on fire?
Yes, she has a hot box. Tell everybody what's going on between those legs of yours. Hot box.
Are you a gynecologist?
Let's stick to the tits and not what's between the legs, Wendy says. And so Giselle's like, my box is called the Watt box, and yours is dry. And I take a Watt box over a dry box any day of the week. Honey! She starts doing her drag queen. Honey!
Anisha on Family Karma is so excited. She's like, I knew it would pay off. So Giselle's like, she's obsessed with my coochie because we all know the ding-dong at her house is broken.
What you will not do is disrespect my husband when your ding-dong is in everyone else's vagina. Giselle goes, at least it works.
You don't have a man. You're a broken whore from Hampton University, and everybody knows it. And that's why we went to Sing Sing.
I'm like, I don't even understand what that sentence means. Like, everything about that sentence does not, like, every phrase, every predicate there does not make sense. And yet, altogether, it's one of the most amazing things that ever came out of Karen's house.
Okay, so breaking it down, Firebox. So she's saying she has an STD or something, right?
I'm assuming that's what that is.
Okay. Yeah. So then she's saying, like, everybody knows you got an STD from Jamal. And then Giselle says, well, your husband is impotent. And then Karen says, no, your husband's ding dong, well, that's obvious, is in everyone's vagina. At least it works because your husband is impotent. And then you don't have a man. You're a broken whore from Hampton University.
That's why I like the Hampton University being dragged into that out of nowhere.
Yeah. And then everyone knows it. And that's why we went to Sing Sing. So did Giselle go to prison? What?
That's what I'm trying to deduce, is that's what she's trying to say, that Giselle, did Giselle go to prison? Was that before or after Hampton University? It's a lot of higher education. Yeah.
So Karen was on Watch What Happens Live, so of course I had to watch it, and she just will not answer a question. It's so funny. And he's like, so what did you mean by, when you said hot box? And she's like, well, everyone knows what that means, Andy. And what I meant was what everybody knows, and that's a hot box. And Giselle has a very hot box, and that's it, Andy. That everyone knows it. And he's like, okay. So then he's like, okay, so what were you saying about Sing Sing? He was reading her lines, you know, to her, back to her. And she's like, well, Sing Sing, everyone knows what Sing Sing is, Andy. Everyone knows what Sing Sing is. And that's what I said, that she's from Sing Sing, went to Sing Sing, gone to Sing Sing. And he's like, but Sing Sing's a prison. She goes, oh, well, I didn't know what Sing Sing was. I just thought it was Looney Bin, Andy. I was just trying to make a light moment out of a very dark time in our lives.
Classic Karen.
So I watched that just to find out what the hell she was talking about, and she still won't say. So who knows?
Yep. Well, that's her. That's her, you know, in a nutshell. That was so funny. You're just a broken down whore from Hampton University. Oh, it's so good. Justice for Hampton University. And that's the end of the episode. Is another to be continued, as usual. I mean, everything on Bravo is a to be continued. So that's it for the episode. We'll be back later, probably today or early tomorrow, some point, with our Shaws of Sunset recap. And then again, the rest of our schedule will be Below Deck Med, Real Housewives of New York, and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And our bonus this week is part two of our Big Brother cast, Flash Judgments, Snap Judgments, which is really fun if you watch Big Brother. So go check that out on Patreon, and we'll catch you on the next episode, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nikki Morgan letters.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better Than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the Wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible Edible
incredible Matthews sisters.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Capsewell.
She's cheese on a bagel. It's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.